So welcome in the second morning of the conference. And today we are reaching the cruising altitude because this is the day when the structure of the day is what I have described yesterday in my opening speech, the morning hours about presentations and the afternoon hours about experiential workshops mostly, and the evening at communal events. So I also would like to bring to your awareness the morning structure, that from now on we will have two keynote speakers typically in each morning and some additional extra, which is today a process, tomorrow or day after tomorrow a roundtable discussion. So the first 2 hours will be keynoters with some extras. And then we created a format that we call the elevator pitch. We created it already at the first IEC because we would like to give the experience for every speaker and workshop leader that they are seen at least once by the whole community. And they can come on stage and announce who they are and what they will do in the section talks and in the afternoon workshops. So this is the elevator pitch, half hour after the break in the morning hours, and you, the audience, will have a chance to see and feel into who is going to present today. So when that phase comes, all of you who will be presenters and workshop leaders, please follow closely the instructions from the stage to be here, because we need a close and strong coordination to do it successfully.
The presenters should know that they have 30 seconds, just to be aware of this.
Yes, and we will have a person who will put the mic and pull out the mic after 30 seconds. So 30 seconds is really that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, now I have the pleasure to invite Joachim Galuska on stage. He's our first presenter. Please come up. Yes.
I didn't.
It's a great pleasure for me to introduce you, and your topic will be Principles of a Living Organization, Heiligenfeld. That's your clinical system, the Teal Star in Europe. And when we talked yesterday, you said, well, it's important for me that you really mention that I'm a medical doctor, a psychotherapist, but as well a business person. And that I want that soul is coming into medical treatment as well as in business. And this you really did successfully. And you are the patron of a whole system. Just tell me in a moment, what is the system?
Which kind of system?
Oh, the clinics.
Our hospitals, yeah.
Yeah, the hospitals.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many clinics do you have?
I will show it.
Oh, you will show it. Okay. Well, fine. Then I continue. And the next thing he said, well, in my way of meditation, I realized that we need to have a different consciousness. And so he really worked hard on this changement of consciousness, both in his clinical system as well in the way how you approach the patients and your team. The clinical system has been awarded in many, many respects as the best employer of clinic staff in Germany. Many, many awards. There's a whole list. And as well, you have been awarded to be extremely innovative, best innovators in education? No, in...
Something like this. Yeah.
Well, anyhow...
well, yes, I know. But.
Well, I tell you what he did. He has, every year, he has a big conference. And the big conference is a gathering a little bit like this one. And the topics which are covering... are covered in these conferences are, for instance, this year, Kairos.
Kairos.
Kairos, which is the right moment. Another topic was consciousness. Another one was spirituality in life.
Love.
Love was another...
last one.
Yeah, love was the last one. Then soul art in of healing. So you see, he really opened up an access to what he did and what he does in his work, which is very broad. And so we are curious to listen to your presentation. Thank you.
thank you for your presentation for me. I have to start with two problems. First is language. I'm not familiar in giving lectures or even keynotes in English because I'm from Germany and not so much traveling. So maybe I have some problems with some words and then I need your help, but also I have a PowerPoint so you will get the main message from the slides. And the second is I didn't choose the subtitle, The Teal Star of Europe. Only this was the title, which I agreed. I do not like the subtitle, Teal Star, and I do not think that I will fulfill this idea. At the end, reality is much more difficult and somehow strange. So maybe you will see why I say that. I will just show you the development, our development as an example of a business and some principles which work in a company according to my experience. This is our development, who we are. We are a family company, two families are the owners, mine and another one. And we started in 1990 and now we have 7 psychosomatic hospitals and 1 orthopedic and oncological hospitals. The main thing is psychosomatic treatment, and you see the indications, the disorders we have to treat. These are our hospitals, 4 in Bad Kissingen and the rest around in Germany. All are very nice in nature area like here. So I will not go deeper into what happens in a psychosomatic hospital. You can read it, but you should understand that the main thing is what I call the field of treatment, or if you say it in a poetic way, the healing field. Patients live a time in that field, let's say 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, or even more, and they are influenced by all of that. The question and the secrets is how to structure, how to organize that field so that the complexity of treatments turns the way of the patients around from the depressive pattern, from the pathological pattern, to a more healthy pattern. That's all you can achieve in this time, but that's a lot, to change a little bit the structure of identification. So, at the beginning, at the beginning, there was a vision. We started in 1990 with a vision of a human, holistic, and transpersonal-oriented therapy. Our focus was the patient. And sometimes I think our ideals about the structure of an organization follow a start-up of the first or 2 years of a company when you're small. It was the same with us in 1990. Strong vision, small team, few rules, much communication. Teal? I didn't know. But then we understood that the whole company and the whole concept is too much dependent on individuals. And if they do mistakes or leave the company, it's too dangerous for the whole thing. So we did what is necessary and what every organization does and has to do. We developed our management structures. You know what that means. The economical side of an organization where numbers are leading. And I believe this is one principle of the success of a company. And you should never forget that. The second is, another principle is, or an essence, what I like to say, an essence, is corporate culture. Here, the concentration is not on the structures, it is on people, is on the employees, on human beings. And you have to find out what the identity of your organization is, how you understand yourself. And the core in this discussion to develop your culture is the values, the main values you have. And to find out what are the main values and to share them is a kind of communication. You have to dialogue. Structures you can implement and processes and develop, but culture you have to talk. You have to talk and talk and talk so that everyone has the feeling to participate and to understand what happens and to give his ideas into all that. So values are the main thing. Oh, okay, this was my secretary. So, and I like to say, in Germany we say not material values. I read that it's intangible assets, let's say soft factors, are balanced and the same importance than hard factors, economical values, tangible assets. So we think that you have to always find the good balance in the complexity of a value system. And that is not easy. In every main decision you have to do as a leader, you have to find out what's the right way. And sometimes you do not find it, and you have to decide. So we had a lot of dialogues about our values in personal conversations in small groups and in large groups. And this led us to a deeper understanding of what we call the essence of Heiligenfeld, the essence of our company. We call this the basic principles we follow. And in the center of these basic principles, the core, you can say, is life, our core value. And in the following, in the main part now, I will point out four essential principles I believe in, which are important for what we call a living organization. You see, if I put life in the center, then this means something. And therefore, I like to call our organization, let's say, on the way to, although on the path to a living organization. But these, what I will show you, some four principles. These principles are just principles we follow. Because the living organization cannot be determined, in my opinion. You may just try to influence it and then see what happens. If I ask people in my company what they think, what's the main thing, how it works, they say different things. But it works. I sometimes I'm surprised what the self-understanding from them of the whole is. So I think it's interesting to have some principles and try to work with them and then to see how the whole thing develops. First principle, I think, is mindfulness, consciousness, awareness. In Germany we say Achtsamkeit. And for me this is much more than a program as a training of mindfulness. I think a training of mindfulness is not deep enough. Consciousness has to penetrate the whole company. And I think you ask how it does, and it does if you have a mixture of what we call small gestures. We learned that from Great Place to Work, a competition we made. And for example, we have small moments of silence at the beginning of every main therapy, of every conference, of every team discussion, small minutes of silence or poetic text. so an inspiration. We have these famous bells. In a conference, one person can take it, and whenever he wants, he can ring, and then everyone has to be silent and to find out what happens. Are we doing the discussion as we want it or not? So they use it when something is around, then silence comes and things deepen, and it is a change, just 10 seconds, and then something changes. This is just an example, the meditations for patients, meditations for our employees. And then you have large measures like programs, whole days of silence with the patients and days of awareness for our co-workers, we say. In Germany we say Mitarbeiter, that's co-worker, just translated. I think it's a nice word. Our supervision, our caring system, that our employees get massages, cosmetic treatments during their working time. And also a kind of mindfulness, I like to call it soul psychotherapy. You can also say transpersonal oriented, but I like more the word soul psychotherapy. If you are in your soul, in your heart, so something is different and in the context you create when you treat a person. But I do not go deeper into that. That's a whole lecture about all that. The main thing is a kind of awakening awakening of the company for its own culture. That you are more and more conscious and develop consciously your culture, the understanding what you do, and the commitment for the essence of the company. This is the main thing of penetrating consciousness into an organization. The organization, the company, wakes up that they understand why and what they're doing. Most companies have no idea how they do things. They just do the things. So we are now in a kind of transition in our company from the pioneers like me and the founders to the next generation. And that means that the change is necessary for us after 28 years, 1990. So when I am withdrawing a little bit or more, I'm just withdrawing, how can Heiligenfeld develop? So we invented a type of conference some years ago. It's a large group. There are most of the people in the hospitals and even in all. So, because this conference is, you see it on one of these things here, is here. It's not very good seen, but it's by video. It's a video connection to the other places we are inside this conference. So we start and then we divide into groups for professions, departments, or just interests. And there we discuss and then we bring it together. It's only 75 minutes, but it's every 2 weeks. And there are maybe 300, 200 in Bad Kissing and in the other places, 40, 50, who are discussing about like marketing or human resource management, ecological behavior, creative things. They are dancing, they are painting, hygiene, IT, and all the main subjects you need. But 2 years ago, we developed that to the second point. We call it open organizational development. This is the idea that inside this conference, people organize it inside this conference themselves. They propose the subject, then they build a group, discuss in the group, and even they decide if they have someone who can decide. If they have the power to decide, that maybe there is a leader inside, then they can together decide. But only in the range of the roles they have. If they do not have someone, you can pick someone and try to convince him. That's possible. If not, then it does not happen. So it follows the competences, the responsibilities, but it's open now. Like, what subjects did they choose? I will tell you, like parking spaces for employees, part-time jobs, animals at our workplace, our conditions of work, digitalization, our attitude to work, time models for work, burnout in Heiligenfeld, family therapy concepts. And last one is there's always an open group. People who have no interest in any kind of group, existing group, they have to go somewhere. But if they have no interest, they get into an open group. And then they discuss in that open group if they find new subjects, new groups. They can then divide and propose that for the next time, and then they can go into that group. This open group is a kind of catalyst for the whole thing, because from there come new subjects, and these are the subjects all our employees have. So you induce the intelligence of everyone, but you do not confound it with responsibility and competency. So, for a third principle, the next one, I don't know what it is. Self-organization? Ah, no. A very interesting thing for me is wholeness. And for me, it does not only mean something like the integral model or multi-perspective models. At the end, I do not believe so much in models. They are helpful, that's all. But reality... but reality is something different. Take Thiel, which wants to be non-hierarchical, well, but that does not work in a hospital where you have totally different responsibilities, totally different competencies and levels of personal matureness. And this thing is the main subject, that the personal matureness and also the education is so different that you have to organize that. Everyone has to be at the right place for him. And this means a kind of acceptance of hierarchy, I think. So, and even to have a leading role, to have a leading position, is not that you have it because the other one wants you to have it, because you have to learn it. I think to be a leader means to learn 3 to 5 years how to lead. It's a known profession, in my opinion, in my experience. So maybe you see it in a different way, but well, we have to find out how that works. So I think we are more on the way to find complex models where inspiration is working, where participation is working. But it will be in complex organizations like hospitals, I think it will be a complex also hierarchy. So you see, we use different kind of multi-perspective models, like the ACWA model, but also the balanced scorecard. And we use them every year. We use one of those models. We screen the whole company, and then we get ideas what to do. And then we do it. And we just use different types of such models, like the balanced scorecard. I do not explain it to you, but it's a complex, multi-perspective model in the center is vision and strategy. And that is very interesting. If you work on your vision and then you find out to the different, let's see, like quadrants to the different perspectives. So the main thing in leadership is to handle complex models for your company. And you do not have to believe in them, but you have to handle them. They inspire you. They give you some idea what to do, and then you see the result. So, and I call it conscious intuition, because what is the inner capacity to do that? I think it's intuition, in a kind of developed, awakened, conscious intuition. So what I started to say, to be honest, I do not believe that Thiel is real. Yeah, but this is English, you know. In Germany, it would not sound so nice, yeah. I do not believe that Thiel is real. It is an ideal. Also welcome. which I do not really share. Companies do not have to develop to Thiel. Companies do not have to develop to Thiel or anywhere else. As every living being, they have the right to unfold themselves in their own way. And they will do it. Because I think companies are living organisms, because people, living human beings, are working in it. So the complex structure is also something living. And I find it much more interesting if companies want to find out how it is to be living, how it is to be alive, to be lively, because then they are open for their own development. Because evolution is open. In my opinion, it is open. We will see if it is really going that way, Gebser, Wilbur, and all the people think as humanity. We do not know what evolution is doing. And I think it is, for me, it's much more interesting to be just curious and open for that and to give some influences and hope that it will lead to a little bit of better unfolding of that. So for me, the end is to transcend perspectives, to transcend models, also integral models or Thiel. And beyond all of that is just, for me, an open consciousness, open for innovation, for co-creation and evolution. Because life itself, for me, is beyond our understanding and open for the secret, for its own secret. I feel life unfolds consciousness, brings consciousness forth, not the other way around. I feel life unfolds consciousness to realize itself, to realize its own openness. So at the end, a living organization is just open. It's living its Kairos, you can say. What is the title of our next conference in 2 weeks? And I'm ready earlier than I had to do. Thank you for listening.